KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Well, and of course, again, thank you for tuning in for today's ABQ Connect. Headed into the weekend, and of course, before we do that each weekend, we've got to make a stop with Brian Cochran and get our financial update from John Moore Associates. Thanks, Brian, for joining us again.
Always my pleasure, Steve.
Likewise. I'm sure the topic that we didn't ask the listeners to, but had we, I'm sure this week the question might be, or the focus would be on, well, I think it was Tuesday. What did we see? A four-digit drop, over 1,000 points, maybe what, around 1,200 point drop in the stock market. Should we be concerned, or are there actions we should take?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to look at there is what the heck is going on? Why did the market drop so much on Tuesday? And what's driving this jump in volatility? And to your point, yeah, we saw about a 4% decline in stock prices, depending on which index you look at. And that's not an unprecedented drop by any means. We've seen 3, 4, and 5% down days throughout history when there's times of uncertainty and economic change. So this is not insane off the charts volatility, but we haven't seen that big of a down day since 2020. We've had a pretty good run since the COVID crash in March of 2020. And what's happening right now, Steve, we've talked about this in the past, is all eyes are on inflation and the Federal Reserve, and questioning how aggressive will the Federal Reserve be in the next 3, 6, 9 months, trying to battle this really ongoing and problematic inflation. And specifically what triggered the volatility on Tuesday was, on Tuesday morning, we've got the August CPI report, the Consumer Price Index, which is a really commonly followed measure of inflation. And at first you look at it and say, well, actually inflation, the rate of inflation slowed a little bit in the month of August. But what the market was really focusing on is what we call core inflation, which excludes the very, very volatile food and energy categories. And that inflation continues to rise and looks like it's not changing trend anytime soon.
Now, one of the things you mentioned that I'm curious about, you know, the two different types of inflation, the one you mentioned slowed in August. Is there any indication of why that might have been?
Yeah, the big driver there was, if you include food and energy, you get the benefit of lowered energy prices. Specifically, gas, oil prices are down a little bit month over month. What I'd point out, though, is the energy index was down about 5% month over month. However, it is still up about 24% year over year. So definitely energy prices were getting a little bit of relief. And you see that when you drive around town and you see prices at the pump are not what they were a few months ago, but they are certainly higher than they were a year ago. So that was the one contributor on sort of the downside that helped push inflation down. What I'm more concerned about is food. The food index was up pretty substantially, and now is up over 11% in the last 12 months. And that's a hit that we all feel, because obviously we're all hitting the grocery store at some point during our week. And the average American is definitely seeing that increase in food prices put a dent in their cash flow and their budget.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to a report earlier this week, and to bring it home, talking about people going to the New Mexico State Fair. Have you been out there yet, Brian?
No, I haven't.
But what they were talking about was, you know, some of the favorite foods that people like to go get. And it was like an ear of corn for $12, a turkey leg for $18. And that's, you know, I'm assuming that's exactly what, you know, it's impacted by exactly what you just mentioned, food. And it's, you know, not only affecting, you know, what we, you know, get at the grocery store and take home, but, the industry that's preparing food for us when we eat out. So we're going to see that, I'm sure, reflected.
Yeah. And food prices can be pretty volatile. So we may eventually see some relief there. The other category that's concerning that continues to rise is shelter costs. So you think of our basics, right? We need food, we need energy, we need shelter. Shelter costs are up about 6% year over year. So thinking rents, things like that. Shelter accounts for about 40% of CPI, even if everything else was level. Just the cost increases around housing would be enough to be too high of inflation for what the Federal Reserve wants to see. So again, just you look at the average American household, things that are not discretionary purchases get from point A to point B. So we need our gasoline. That's up 24% over the last year. You want to buy food for your family. That's up 11%. So the concern is that it's really twofold. First off, that is going to crimp the consumer and the discretionary expenses will continue to decline. The second thing we worry about is that high inflation, continued strong inflation in these core categories will drive the Federal Reserve to be more and more aggressive. So even if we haven't seen the economy slow down substantially yet, it's an increased consensus that the economy is going to slow down in the coming months, the coming quarters. And that's why the market gave up so much ground on Tuesday is I think the market was optimistic that inflation would show a slowdown. And when that didn't happen and those expectations were not met, you saw a very rapid retreat in stocks.
You know, one of the things I was sitting here thinking as well, when we're at this point where, we're in the midst of inflation and things have gone up so much, and what do we do? What can we do? I'm not looking necessarily for a response from you, Brian, although you're welcome to chime in. November is coming, and if you want things a certain way, well, let me encourage everyone, if you're not registered to vote, get out and register to vote. And I said this on a show, I think yesterday, register and then imagine this, go vote. It's so important, yeah. That we speak with the freedom and the opportunity that we have to continue to do that.
Absolutely. And there is definitely a political influence on inflation because government spending and actions by the government certainly made a huge impact. I mean, really the cause of this, we've heard politicians try to skirt blame on this and push it off on, oh, it's the prior administration's fault or it's Ukraine, therefore it's Russia's fault with the invasion of Ukraine and the disruption. And those are contributing factors, but in the end, it was runaway government spending and actions by the Federal Reserve. And I would go one step further. It really comes back to our response to COVID. People forget that shutting the economy down to fight COVID was not mandatory. That was a decision that was made, and government leaders needed to weigh the trade-offs of that decision. Trade-offs included, you know, the education impact when you shut down schools, the social-emotional impact when you isolate people, and the economic impact of stopping supply by shutting down so many businesses and then throwing all this money into the economy. That's really what's causing this inflation. And so I think we have to look to, okay, who is responsible for that decision? And do I, as a voter, feel like that was the right trade-off? And I'll leave each listener to make their own conclusion there. But there was going to be some sort of a side effect to shutting down the economy, something we've never done before. And this is part of it. And this inflation is probably here for a while. We've seen some stats that show optimistic forecasts of inflation slowing by mid next year and maybe slowing quite rapidly. But that's probably going to require continued aggressive action by the Federal Reserve, which could result in a recession in 2023. And again, that's what the market is pricing in. The market is forward looking. So they're pre-pricing that companies' earnings and profits will slow, and therefore stock prices should be lower. But all of this goes back to that decision to shut down the economy, which it's easy to forget was doing very, very well by the end of 2019, early 2020, before COVID hit. So we went from a very strong economy to a shutdown economy. And with that and the stimulus that we used to mask that, we now have inflation and probably the need to slow the economy again to fight inflation. So this is all going back to that, the COVID decisions, which again, you might feel that was the right thing to do. And maybe the benefits weighed the cost. But in this case, you can't let politicians get away with blaming this on just COVID in general or again, Russia or anything like that.
That's some great insight, Brian. We're talking with Brian Cochran of John Moore Associates. And Brian, we appreciate every Friday the opportunity to get the insight that you provide. Let's do this in a week.
Yeah, I'll see you next week. And then I know at the end of the month, we're going to sit down for an hour. So maybe we can do a deeper dive into some of this, and always encourage listeners to send their questions along, because we love having those questions in hand and answering those, and hopefully providing insights that are valuable to you all.
Yeah, and the way to do that, contact@abqconnect.online. contact@abqconnect.online. Brian, have a great weekend.
All right, thank you, Steve. You do the same.
And to the listener, I say the same. Have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in to ABQ Connect.
Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.